Okay, I will call the regular meeting of the Communications and Technology Committee to order, May 7th, 2020. Item two, comments from the public. We'll do what we've been doing. If you have any comments you want to make now, you can. If you have comments on any of the specific items, feel free to make them at that point in time. Any comments at the moment from the public?
This is Amelia, and I'd like to just let everybody know who's on the call since we are calling in via Zoom. Okay. Myself, Mr. John Merchant, Tom Hennig, Linda Butler, Gail from the River Valley Times, Richard Gears from from Murrieta Village, Chief Werblin, and Mark Martin. Thank you.
Okay.
Wait, this is Mark. If I could clarify, Mr. Gears is a resident of Murrieta Village. He's not a representative of...
I'm sorry, did I say representative?
No, I just want to make sure that that's clear for the record.
Yes, he is a resident.
Okay. We've done the comments from the public. Like I said, feel free to comment as we go through. Item three, quarterly update to outreach and technology.
That's where I get to shine.
Okay, so if I think maybe the way to do this is if there are specific items in this report that you guys want to talk to, why don't you, Amelia, as we go through, why don't you try and scroll down to that item?
All right. The first few pages are items that were already taken care of. They're complete items.
Okay.
And we go all the way down to page three, item number 19, the SharePoint cloud file and collaboration site. Would you like to speak to that, Tom, or shall I continue?
I can say that we're working with an expert in SharePoint. She's working to modify our existing SharePoint site, which was created by our technology support company, at IT. So we brought WeCyber in because of her expertise with SharePoint, and they're going to redesign our site, and we're also going to really up the security of our data and the safety of our data by moving as much as we can into the Microsoft cloud environment and to downsize the amount of reliance we have upon our network servers for our so that's about, we're probably a week into an eight-week project. So we're very optimistic that it's going to make our intranet use of data that we share and data that we use individually a lot safer from hacking, from system failure. And Amelia is running point on this project. So she's proven to be very good with organizational of data. And so she's going to work with each of our primary users to secure our environment and to make it a lot more efficient. So that's one of the board has talked about recently is our network security and not getting hacked and such. So that's what I have to say about that item.
Thank you very much. Will you continue with the accounts payable general ledger Great Plains integration, Tom?
So sure, we have two and three things going on with our finance system. So the accounts payable system, which is our purchasing system, Astiva, is becoming integrated seamlessly with Great Plains. So as we issue requisitions, we scan everything from quotes and bids and stuff to the requisition. Eventually it becomes a PO. And then as payments are made, they're scanned receipts in the field. They're brought to our accounts payable person, and it streamlines and goes paperless in large part the check writing process. So when you come in and sign checks, there's a 3-inch stack of paper that's going to become as electronic as humanly possible and should reduce greatly the amount of paper we use for purchasing. Another thing we're doing is we're integrating our accounts receivable system, our utility billing system, with Great Plains to eliminate a large amount of duplicate data entry, which is prone for error, and also streamlining the process of getting the the bill payment history into Great Plains for financial reporting and make that a lot smoother. And last but not least is our integration of our paycheck system with Great Plains. And Cindy is just about wrapped up to where she's caught up on them. Every time we get paid, that data goes directly into Great Plains instead of having to be data entered twice. So those are the updates for that. Those are the three things we're doing to keep Great Plains alive until we find something better, which is what we're going to try and start doing next year. Any questions?
No, that sounds good. That sounds really good. I'm glad you're making progress there.
And then future project accounting system, general ledger, other integration. Looks like we haven't started that yet. Maintenance management on work order system.
Is Paul on the phone?
You know, I don't see Paul. Okay.
That's all right. Jeff, is Paul down the hall?
I'm in my living room, so I wouldn't know. Okay. He's not here. I'm not in the office today.
send one of your pooches to go find Paul. Now, yeah. The maintenance management and work order system was a budgeted item in this fiscal year, the current fiscal year. And Paul has developed an RFP. And what this does is, if you don't understand, we have a bunch of assets in the district that need to have regular scheduled maintenance and we have a proper work order process. And so there's a lot of different companies out there. Most of them are very large. And so we budgeted about $25,000 to purchase the system this year. And Paul, I believe, is just about ready to release an RFP. He and I have worked on it in the past few months. And we're hoping that it's a quick turnaround and we can make a decision before the end of the fiscal year. If we can't make a good decision, we won't. And we'll just shuffle it back into the process again. But again, we're still hoping that it happens this year.
Okay. And then the rest of the items on here are to be announced.
So I want to point out number 25.
25, here we go.
Our utility system has their own website that they sponsor where people can look and see their bills a lot easier, see their water use a lot clearer on a regular basis. We've been working to have the website work correctly. The problem is the bill paying part of it. We currently use a company called Paymentus for bill paying, and converting to this new website would require us to at some point migrate to another bill paying program, which we can't figure out yet if it's more expensive or less expensive. It's certainly more convenient. It's fully integrated with the billing system, so we don't have to download our credit card statements or credit card payments every day, and which is prone to error in the past. So and sometimes it's just not working. So I say our struggle is to need to move to the online payment system. So we're working on that. It's just one of the many projects. It just hasn't hit the top of the list with these other integrations we have going on with Great Plains, but it's out there and people will be able to log in and see their accounts like they've been asking for.
Tom, just a ballpark, what kind of credit card business do we do? How many, what percentage of the bills are paid by credit card?
That's a good question. I would say close to half, John.
Wow.
Well, not close to half. I'd say a fourth, and about another fourth are paid from electronic fund transfers.
Right, right. Okay.
And then about half are paid via checks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is the ballpark. If you want a definitive answer, I can get it.
Oh, no. I just wanted to get an idea.
I would like to get it. I would like to at some point bring on the new website, bring on a new payment process, and I think we'd have a lot more people paying electronically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, ideally, that's where we'd want to be. I mean, it's the easiest way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, moving along to item number 27, we'll have a district intranet, and that'll be part of our new SharePoint project, so it'll make it easier for the employees of the district to pop on, share information with each other. We're very excited about that. Automated HR and payroll, spring of 2020.
That's completed.
That's completed, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that we just continue to enhance it as we find more forms. And, okay. And any company, any government or any agency, period, that has an intranet, which means internally instead of externally, a vast majority of their documents are related to payroll anyway. So as Paychex gets more and more, as we get more and more familiar with using Paychex and putting our information there, that's about half of our intranet activity for, you know, our various employees. So it's worked out really well.
Okay.
And then we will move on. Oh, Paul has joined us. Very good. Welcome, Paul. We'll move on to the field operations technology initiatives. And I'm just looking for things. Paul, would you like to pop on and update us? Let us know anything that's happened and been completed since our last meeting when we discussed these items.
So nothing as it relates to technology initiatives. Sorry for getting on late, having issues with the internet here. So apologize for that. But unfortunately, no updates as it relates to technology initiatives with field operations.
Are you from looking at this, Paul, are you still having problems connecting with Greenfield?
Connecting through Greenfield?
Oh, it says here you're not getting any response from Greenfield.
Oh, yeah. So initially when we were looking to do some connectivity items over there, we were not getting any response from them. We haven't followed up with that internally. We tried to do some work with staff to start doing some of the work that we anticipated doing with Greenfield or an outside contractor ourselves. That's at our wastewater facility in particular. That's to route connectivity from the main office fiber optic system back to the warehouse, because currently everything's wireless.
Yeah.
And that's been an issue in the past. Leap Ahead has made some strides with some equipment they've put in that gives almost a fiber optic type speed by beaming the signal from the office back towards the warehouse. So it's been pretty decent. And then we've moved our operations staff into our wastewater plant control building, where it's gonna cause some issues for us. And that's why we wanna hardline that back to the office. But we may get in contact with Leap Ahead and possibly just beam that instead, because a conduit's just a pipe under the ground. There's an old one there left behind from SMUD, which was the main power route from the Highway 16 back to the wastewater facility.
Uh-huh.
That was abandoned, and we went back and forth and back and forth in a slow process trying to ask whether they'd be okay with us utilizing that. And they wouldn't really give us a clear response. And that kind of dropped off with all the hypochlorite project activities we've been doing. So staff's been focused on that.
Okay.
Hey, Paul, as part of the COVID-19 response, we moved a couple of your staff into, what do you call the building there in the middle?
The wastewater plant control building.
Right. Didn't we move a couple of people there, and didn't a Leap Ahead put in the point-to-point wireless to connect that building to the main building as well as the back building?
I don't know if they did the point-to-point there. That's the question I have. Well, they did with a certain extent, but I don't think they did the very high-speed one that goes all the way back to the warehouse. So I have to touch base with them on that.
Okay. Thank you. I'll ask him what the status is of those.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not we did that so your workers could be in that building to create the additional distancing necessary.
Yeah, the full operations staff is in that building now, away from the warehouse.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on the report? Okay. Go ahead.
This is Linda. I can make the comment now or at some other point. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I find the not so much the technology one, but the titles, well, I guess both of them. These reports have long titles. I want to figure out some other way to identify these reports, because initiatives, for some reason, to me, doesn't seem like it describes what we have here. And I wanted to also, well, I guess I can wait till the budget thing. So is anybody, does anybody find these titles cumbersome? Am I the only one?
When you say titles,
RMCSD, Field Operations Technology Initiatives. And then the other is, I don't know why, it just doesn't really describe to me what these are. This is like a ton of wonderful information that we asked for in communications a while ago, and it's been put together. I just want to be able to refer to them as something, some other title, as, or maybe that's just me, but I don't know what initiatives mean. I know what the word means, but I'm not sure how it all fits together. Does anybody, nobody else feels that way?
Well, Linda, basically they're projects, and each of the project is distinctly trying to solve a
problem, right?
A need or a problem, or create an improved environment. And so I don't know what to say. You know, the maintenance management and work order system, that is, I'm looking at, what page is that, Mamilia?
Initiative number 9 of 27.
Yeah, maintenance management work order system. It's basically the note keeping system and the work order system for all of our plant operations.
Right.
That's why not describe them as projects?
Maybe we could. How about if we just call them projects, right?
Instead of initiatives.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I can do that.
That makes my brain not have to work as hard. Sorry, guys.
No worries.
All right, I'll make sure that that happens.
Anything further on this report?
Yes. I did want to say something about the report in terms of our budget and our budget outreach information to the community. Do you want me to wait until the budget comes up regarding communication regarding budget?
Whatever you want. It's most relevant.
Okay, I'll wait.
Okay.
You want to go to item 4, Amelia?
I would love to go to item 4. Item 4 is our Google and Facebook analytics. And here they are. I'll make them a little bigger so that you can look at them. The first page is the web pages that have the most hits. Employment has the most paid views, which is typical for our website. And then here's the states that are looking at it. Pretty typical. California has far more than any other state. Milne do.
Where is Turtle Nedu? Does anyone, I don't know where.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know where that is. Huh?
The Ile de France, number 7 there.
Oh, that I thought that was cheese, but.
Oh, so it looks like we do have some international visitors to the website. That's important information. Our Facebook hits went down a little bit in the month of April over the month of March, but that's to be expected because I think a lot of people were looking when COVID-19 hit to see what our status was of our building, when we would be opening, et cetera.
Right.
Any questions on that?
No. The one thing, and it's not a high priority.
Okay.
And we're not in the season now, so we got time to even think about it. Is there a quick way without? I mean, maybe it's even via an app that we can access the river levels and Scott Road access.
Scott Road is one of the it's a tile, if you will, on the website. So people access that, and then I can see right here how many times people have looked at our Scott Road page. It is one of the Deer Creek Scott Road stream gauge.
Yeah.
So I do have a link for that. And then if you, John, want to tell me some other river crossings that I'll look for them and see if I can find links to them, and I can add those to the website too. I just need to know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I don't particularly have any river crossings. Just the flow gauge at Michigan Bar and the Scott Road crossing are really the ones I think anybody around here would be interested in.
Okay. But,
and again, I was just thinking if there's a way, especially in the winter months, where, you know, I don't know whether it would be through an icon or something that would make it easier than going to the website and then clicking the link, you know. And again, it's not a high priority. It's just something when I looked at it, you know, it would be nice. I mean, there is no quick way. You know, I do it myself a lot, and
right.
They continue to promise us a solar powered sign at both ends of the road, but we don't have that yet either. So, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Paul. I can work with Amelia to maybe put it in a on the front end of the website, you know, take down the no wipes and pipes or something like that, or the bait boxes and dams type of thing, and put it up front.
Yeah, and it's not going to overflow anytime soon. It's going to be 90 degrees, yep. So we're not
exactly
we're out of that window for a while anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other, can I ask one more question there, Amelia?
You can ask a million questions.
And again, this is just for thinking purposes, and I don't even know if I can say this the way I want to say it. When you do searches off the website, and it brings up the data that's relevant to what you're searching, it seems it's really difficult to find stuff. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So if you were on the website and looked for, I don't know, RFP, I was looking for an RFP the other day, and it doesn't bring it up chronologically or.
Yeah. If you look, for example, if you're looking, trying to hunt down something from a board meeting from 2016, it's really, you can't find a search parameter that will get you close enough. And I can't tell you how many times I've been through 12 board meetings looking for something, you know. It's a discussion maybe that we could have at some point, because I don't know what enhancements or search engines would be available to make that an easier process. But maybe at some point we can define that project and at least put it on the list. We get enough going on that I don't want to go run off and do this, but it is hard. There's a lot of information there, but in some cases it's really hard to search something out.
So John, this is Mark.
Hi Mark.
We did ask Streamline who prepares our website. They did make an important change to us. In the past, when you're trying to find, like within a given year, what board meeting had a specific topic, for instance, and you did a search, it would just return every meeting for that year. I mean, it wouldn't help at all. And then they finally were able to set our system so that you'd see a little box around the meeting that actually has that hit. And so that's an improvement that's occurred. To have it be able to search for, and that's something Amelia, we could check with Streamline about to ask him this question.
Right.
They have to almost search the content of the agendas, like the actual content of the documents.
Yeah.
In order to be able to, and then return a hit based on that search. So it's something we can look into. They're obviously, I mean, the fact that they're able to at least narrow it down to a single meeting, which was a huge improvement, because I was just like you. I used to have to go through 12, 13 meetings just to find what I was looking for. So there's some improvements, but there might be a way to make that even better. So we'll look into that with Streamline.
Yeah, and at some point, I'll talk to you guys, because maybe I'm not, at this point, maybe I'm not seeing where the illustration is, or I'm not doing it correctly. I'd like to at least, like you said, I don't think I'm getting to the point yet where I see it in one meeting, but that could be me.
Yeah, it'll return the entire list, but then now the difference, the improvement was that it puts a very thin line box around the one that has the hit.
Oh, okay. I'll look for that.
That's the change that occurred. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it can be brutal if you're looking. So it really can be brutal trying to find something. But okay, that's for the future some point. But we can move on. Okay, item 5. Mark?
COVID-19. Mark? Yeah.
The memo?
I had to unmute myself. This is just an update on the general, you know, what we've been doing as far as the COVID-19 outreach. We know that the latest orders have us through May 22nd as far as distancing measures. And so we're watching closely. We do have our staff tailgate meetings 3 times a week. And so as things change, if they open things up, then we expect, you know, staff that are remote to return to the office. But for now, we're still separating, and those staff that are on site are still practicing the spatial distancing. And so this document just confirms some of the items that we've pursued.
So when you say you guys have a tailgate meeting, are you meeting like out in the parking lot? Is that it? Or?
It's Zoom meeting.
Oh, Zoom. Okay.
Yeah, those are called tailgate meetings. It's like construction jobs where they all get together first thing in the day to go over their plans.
Okay. I thought maybe it was legal to have a meeting in the parking lot if everybody was like 6 feet apart or something.
If you're in Walmart.
Yeah, right. You can't do that in Costco because you can't get 6 feet apart.
But we did paint lines out in the parking lot, boxes, so everybody stands in a box and then you're at least 6 feet from each other.
Yeah, good. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Like a cakewalk in America now.
Yeah.
Walking from box to box.
Yeah.
So any more there, or should we move on?
Go ahead.
Linda, I just wanted to ask a couple quick questions. Have we had anybody contact us from the community asking for assistance or help?
No.
Nobody at all, Mark?
Tom just answered no.
Yeah, the answer is no. Nobody's requested a pay agreement. Even the people we thought that would request pay agreements haven't come to us.
Okay. And I noticed that that it's in the pipeline and it's online and all that. I don't think there's probably any other necessity at this point to reach out to people. Is that most people?
It's publicized in the statements as well. So if you see the statement, you see
the notes there. Okay.
There's no I don't. Other than going house to house with pay agreements, I think we'll see. We do billing again in a few days, and last month we didn't have any people that didn't pay their bills or asked for a pay agreement.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay, development project outreach updates.
Yes, so to facilitate the communication technology community's request of having better information related to what's going on with development, I put this together as a step one towards providing that information, and that was to expand what projects are going on, where they're at. Coastland provided that upfront figure. Those where all the development projects are at. And then within the document, I have every current development project listed and the description of those projects. Since the improvements committee, I have updated that document that you see in this packet to provide a little more information. And I included the Lakeview project, which it was very difficult to find any information at all for me for that project. That in there as well. So, and I discussed with Amelia yesterday, we're going to look to put a new tab up on our website. So it's going to have information available for current development projects. And then within this document as well, I've also updated links to the Sacramento County Planning website. And so we're going to put a caveat on the top of this document when it's updated, that it's, you know, updated per this date, because, you know, we can't.
Yeah, gotcha.
Completely on top of when Sac County Planning changes their links.
Right. That's correct.
Fine. This is fantastic. Okay. This is, yeah. And the map, the first page, I mean, from a layman's standpoint, is the best map I've ever seen. Bar none. Right. I've been looking at these maps for 30 years. Okay. That's exactly what folks want to know as a starting point. I mean, you can't convey the location information and the size and the areas that these projects encompass any better than what that does. You know, it's the old keep it simple, stupid thing too. That ought to be like your entry page. You can use that like on the, you know, as you're using to click in to the site. I mean, you could put a heading over that and put that out on the front page. I think that would be great.
I love it too, Paul. It's terrific.
Great. Thank you.
Exactly what I was looking for. We were looking for. It's awesome. And is there, so we're going to put it online.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to try putting it in, maybe even in sections or I don't know, in the pipeline?
I would assume maybe we could probably just not put this whole thing in a pipeline, but
right.
Be like this picture itself, this of the development projects and the link and short description of, you know,
and tell them where to go to look for it. Yeah, online. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Yeah, I listened when you went through this yesterday or day before yesterday, and you know I kind of waited till now, but. Yeah, this is really great information.
Good. Done our job on it. Good.
Good. Yeah. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Any more on that item? Any other comments? Communication regarding budget, item 7.
That was mine. When we started looking at this, I looked at the letter that we sent out. I got my letter, and I think that where did I put my notes? I think that one of the things that we need to do more of in this process is upfront communicate to the residents in this letter, some kind of list, some kind of attention to, and Mark put a couple of these things in the pipeline, but more depth, to the community. So just as an example, increases in infrastructure maintenance and repairs, 26%. I don't know how much that means to people. So we've got these great initiative slash project spreadsheets. And I think that we might maybe pull together a collection of these are the things that have been done this year or that we're still working on, that we're spending money on, so that people can understand, you know, what that means, increases in infrastructure. I mean, every time we spend money on a replacement or a new thing that needs to be repaired, I don't think people have a clue who live here, how often it happens, how old the infrastructure is, and how much it costs. I mean, it's expensive. $85,000 for this, $20,000 for that. This is not inexpensive stuff, and I don't think they get that. And so I think that if we could put together some type of insert or whatever that maybe explains a few of these things and exactly what it is, we could get to the community and help them understand it's not just what they're paying for, but what they're getting. And I think that that's an important message to get out there. The other one that struck me was consulting services. That's an expensive item. What does that mean? What are we consulting for? And it doesn't have to be really complicated, but I think that if you give it to them up front instead of waiting for them to complain about it, we can, you know, maybe decrease the angst around budget time. And I know you guys have changed some things, and we're moving toward a closure on this item, and I think it would be really great. The other thing that that I wanted to talk about a minute is that somehow, some way, I feel like we need to pick a project every year in our goals and fix it, whatever it is. If it's something that the community can see, and right now what's on my mind is that Lake San Joaquin, or the San Joaquin ditch, or what is it called? Pardon, I'm sorry, it begins with an R in words.
You mean Laguna Joaquin? The CIA ditch? Are you talking about CIA ditch or Laguna Joaquin?
Joaquin, the lake, yeah, the midge fly problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we have any budget for that. We had talked about that last year. And we were going to get together with RMA, since it's also an RMA issue. And I talked to a couple people at RMA, and nobody seems to have known. We've all heard about it, but I was wondering, Paul, if you had any specific information.
And I'll update that in my board meeting packet for this month. Okay. We've already done our first midge fly treatment. We do the midge fly treatments. That is budgeted in the drainage under drainage chemicals. And so this year we've already done a first treatment, and then we're going to do several more. We realized last year it was a big issue. We've had kind of an ad hoc group set up with the RMA and some community members that live around Laguna Joaquin, and had discussed possible ideas and solutions. And where we're currently at is the district is the only one that's doing anything to resolve the issue, and that's the treatments we're doing. No one else wants to pay for it. It gets into a long side discussion, but we're on top of it.
Yeah, one of the things, Paul, I picked up on, I on social media the other day, I saw there's a string out there that people were talking about the fact that, you know, they're back and as usual, but the comments were generally favorable. I mean, we were out there doing that first treatment. The comments were more appreciative that we were acting on it than in the past, where, you know, we've had the uprising over the, you know, the covered screen doors and, you know, all that other stuff. So I think we're in the context we approach it in these days, I think we're doing what we can do. We budgeted for it. We bought the chemicals. We've done the treatments. We'll continue to do the treatments. I mean, beyond...
Well, that's not exactly what I was looking for.
but beyond what we're doing now is another whole huge discussion over how we would treat that Laguna Joaquin as what it is versus...
Right, a retention basin.
Is it drainage or is it aesthetic or what is it? Or is there fish in it or not fish in it? That's a whole other discussion.
That is what, yes. And that is what I was interested in. I'm quite sure that we all discussed the concept of having an RMA and CSD group, committee, whatever you want to call it, to address the bigger issues, which is, you know, how do we fix this?
Yeah, in my time here, we've done that.
Pardon me?
In my time here, we have done that twice with the RMA. And I can provide you a memo. This kind of takes like a cyclical turn in the community. Every couple of years, there's new people that move in and what's going on? What are these bugs? And so we just have to reissue information we already have and share that. And it would be, maybe I can get in contact with the Murrieta Townhomes Inc. You know, that's the HOA that
MPI, I know, I lived there.
they should provide this information to new homeowners, and in my opinion, I think they just want to kind of keep things quiet when they're selling things, but
yeah.
And the honest truth is, I live next to a drainage channel myself, and there's a large drainage pond in my community, and right now in the evenings we just don't go there because it is just swarming with midge flies and gnats and mosquitoes coming out of it.
Right.
You know, we don't have...
We aren't going to tackle the bigger issue.
It's a long, long, long discussion, and it all ends up with who's going to pay for what.
Right.
Every time.
So let me back up off it for a minute. There was... and continues to be one hurdle we never seem to be able to get over, is our requirement by law to publish the preliminary rates and the fact that we can't go up, but we can go down. The community reaction since I've been here has been to the preliminary notice, because they get a notice and there is no way to tell them that it is a preliminary notice. And in more cases than not, I don't know statistically because I didn't go back and look it up, the rate has gone down from what has been initially published. And we are no different this year than we have been many years in the past. So we have a whole year to think about it, but I'd like to be able to communicate in a better way. You know, this may not be the whole picture. By law, we have to give you this message, but there is a chance that these numbers will change, and we invite your reaction. I mean, interestingly, this year, I don't know what the total was, Tom, but we probably got our traditional 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 letters, correct? Is that what we got?
We're up to 15 right now.
Okay, that's a record. That's a record. But what you see on social media that is different this year was a much more widespread reaction to the rate. Than we traditionally see. And part of that stems from what I think is a problem, that when this law was created, I mean, we were still dialing up on AOL and email was something people were, just trying to figure out. The fact that we allow or we require, the law requires a physical written letter versus an email is probably way out of date. And, you know, I've had a couple of conversations with people that do this stuff for a living legislatively. And I think, you know, it's nothing we can tackle on our own, but I think it may be time for that part of that law to change. I see no reason why people can't communicate their feelings to us with an email versus putting a 50-cent stamp on an envelope and walking down to the post office and mailing it to us. So, and I think that would help us, because I think you would see a lot more reaction, whether you like it or you don't like it, or it's good, bad, or indifferent. I think it's important to get the reaction. And I'm not sure legally, maybe, I'm not sure why we couldn't invite emails. I mean, it says formally to protest, you have to get 50%, and you would probably have to get 50% of those 50-cent stamps in an envelope to get really for the public to overcome the rate increase that it suggests in the law itself. But I don't know why we wouldn't invite that comment, even if it's not going to affect the outcome legally. I'd still like to know directly from the folks who are going to get the bill what they think about it. So I don't know where to go with all that, but you know, it, the fact that you can't communicate with an email is definitely out of date, and it may, you know, it may allow a district to control that process, you know, because it really stifles it, but I'm not sure that's a good idea. And that's just something to think about before we do it again, you know, in another 11 and a half months.
Well, my point was not, my point was to try and help the community understand what these different costs are about, and have that information available at the time that we're putting out this letter. There's a certain amount of time that it has to take place within, from what I understand. How they get it to us, I don't care. I don't care if it's by email or letter or whatever. My idea was that a better breakdown or explanation or whatever you want to call it, that goes out with the letter. I'm still convinced that people don't understand or don't get the magnitude of what CSD does and how much it costs. And I also think that as far as cost is concerned, we got 17 letters or notices from the community. We haven't had that before. This is because we've had rate increases year after year after year, and people are starting to notice that their bill isn't $145 anymore. Their bill is $170. And so just to make our lives a little easier, if we were to tell people up front some basic information about what they're paying for, they may have a better understanding of that.
There's a couple, the budget that Tom put together and we went through at the finance meeting, and that Tim and I individually went through, is interesting in that in some respects it tells a story. And there are numbers in there that I think really need to be effectively communicated. And
thank you.
And there's a couple of them that are real highlights to it. Number one is that with the reallocation of the admin overhead that we did with the consultant, it gives us now for the first time a $2 million security department. Okay. And I'm not, you know, I'm not advocating or opposing a $2 million security department, but I think it's time for the folks that live here to really understand that it now costs $2 million. The first time I was on the board, it cost $680,000. Okay, mm-hmm. So what you could anticipate legitimately is that over the next 10-year period, it's quite possible that the $2 million could be $3 million. And there are other aspects of the budget that really bring that to bear. And the overall budget itself brings it to bear. And the fact when you combine that with a rising budget at RMA, you start looking at facility support in this community that's $11 or $12 million. And the other part of that equation that I keep doing and keep trying to get folks to understand is that we continue to divide those rising costs by the same number of connections. And that's a little tilted this year because for the very first time in a long time, we've had an increase in meters. And we will get a slight bump next year. And as the South project takes off, we'll get a bit more of a budget as that a bump as that progresses. But once you run through that section of development, you start running out of houses again or meters, because quite frankly, the North development is nowhere. Okay. And it's going to be nowhere for quite a long time, unless something happened where that property got sold or re-energized by a new marketing group or some, but it's not going to happen immediately. So as the costs rise, you keep dividing it by the same number. And you can see that historically when you do an analysis year over year on what we're spending here in the community. And without advocating for it or opposing it, it's important that everybody gets that understanding so they can make their own logical decision. There are going to be people that think a $2 million security budget ought to be $3 million. And there are going to be folks that think that $2 million security budget is way overspent. So it's a matter of communicating the data and communicating it in a way that folks can understand it so they can make a rational decision on how they want to go forward. So that's my speech, but I've been trying to communicate that stuff, and it's hard. I mean, you know, and there's misconceptions. Plus we have the issue where, you know, we really need to deal with at some point referendums because nobody understands that we're actually funding this stuff with a tax, and that the tax has run its course, and that we're propping it up with property taxes. So at some point, the folks that live here need to understand, you know, we need to make a decision on this stuff. And because it's hard, we keep it kicking it down the road. It goes down further and further down the road, and the only response to it is going to be to kick in more and more property tax allocation to prop it up. That's the only place you're going to get it, unless you start raising, and you start raising rates, and then you get other aspects of parts of the community that you know don't think that the gate operation is relevant to them, and that's a valid concern. So somewhere we need to have this, you know, we need to start this conversation. And so that's kind of what we need to communicate. And that's, you know, that's enough. It's bugging me, but that's what I'm trying to do.
John, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I couldn't agree more with John. I think that, you know, security is without a doubt the biggest nut that we have to crack. And it's it just, like John said, we keep kicking the can down the road. But in addition to that, I think that there are other things that, you know, we could do a little bit better job of doing a breakdown or giving people a little bit of more of an idea of what these breakdowns involve.
My comment is, this conversation's been getting more and more significant, which is why we put into the budget for next fiscal year money to hire a consultant to review the security rate structure and such. And clearly, right. It will help define formerly John's and your concerns over exactly how much is the security costing and how much it you know gets charged to the residents. And I believe another board member is asking that we add a line to the, I haven't really clarified this, but that we add a line to the statement that says, this is how much more security is costing than the $29.53 you're paying every month.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a very
good idea.
Because we are contributing a ton of property tax money, which is discretionary money for the district, to supporting the security program that continually outpaces what we can do for increasing the allocation.
But it's, and I think we've made, we have a good starting point that centers around some of the dialogue that we've already had about this budget. I mean, there's clearly a lot of visibility internally that we've had on a line item by line item basis on some of these issues. And that's a really, really good thing. And I want to use that to go forward and try and stimulate information and education about what it is we're doing. And you know,
yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, there, you know, I've done some of this analysis where, you know, overall on a month by month basis, when you go back to 2002, the equivalent increase is really rational. I mean, you know, you get these reactions because of the way we've treated reserves, and we've done these things where it has caused that budget to go herky jerky in a lot of cases, mm-hmm. depending on whether mm-hmm. we're willing to address reserves or we're not. Because if you pull the reserves out, you can keep the rates low. So everybody, you know, it's the instant hero thing and it's not at the CSD, it's government in general. I mean, you know, don't save for the future. You can make the rates right now really low. So we've reacted to that differently on a year-by-year basis to where we get these ranges where it swings from 13% increases to minus a half a percent in decrease. And it's herky jerky. And so when you get 13% and you get it initially on what is a preliminary notification, I mean, the logical reaction is, you know, why the hell is it going up 13%?
And, right.
And in this case, it was going up, you know, 4-point-something% and $7.50, and it wound up going up $1. Okay, so mm-hmm. so it's a matter of communicating it properly, and over the next year, I want to try and work on that. So,
my point exactly. Okay.
Next item. Communicating during emergency and non-emergency situations.
Yeah,
Linda, I'll let you speak. Yeah, this was something that we had talked about a while ago and put aside, so to speak, because we were hoping to be able to pull in some technology that would make it, you know, an easier, perhaps, way to approach it. And unfortunately, my understanding is that that that's not something that we're going to be doing, you know, in the near distant future because of cost. Totally understand that. However, I think there may be a way to begin the process manually, so to speak, and create what you want to see as far as notification. And one of the first steps that we did, and I do have some questions about that, is related to the water meters and the change outs, et cetera. Starting to put together a plan for how we are going to notify people and keep them abreast of what is happening in the community and, you know, on a regular basis, as far as like the water meters are concerned, and then on an emergency basis, what the process is, if you have an emergency at your house, once you've notified CSD of the emergency. So I would like to attempt to start organizing that. And I would certainly volunteer my time with and work with Paul. I don't know how to go about that exactly, but I do. I have made some notes and I have made some. I have put down some ideas. So just because we can't do it technologically doesn't mean we can't start a manual online. You know, I mean, in the computer, and start putting the processes down and work on it. And so I'm not exactly sure how to go about that, but. That was one of the things that I thought we could still do, even though we can't do it. We could start preparing, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I had that same thought process for this ad hoc committee that we sort of put together, or we did put together. It started off with trying to educate our community about our reservoirs with some signs, and in my mind I took it farther, sorry John, but we're not going to get the signs anyways, and so that's another topic that I think that we could start putting information together and education together, and we don't necessarily have to have a fancy technical process. We can use the information that we have. So I don't know what we want to do with this ad hoc committee at this point. If anybody's truly interested in it, I think it has merit, and I'm not sure where to go with it from here.
All right, I'll
any ideas?
Linda, this is Mark. So we can work on the framework. I think that's what you're talking about, the framework for
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that can apply to either technology or a lack of technology. We could do it with 3x5
codes
if we have to. As far as the ad hoc committee itself, we just need to have the functioning president of the CSD appoint members to that ad hoc committee. We went back through the audio. Although the committee was established, there was
nobody was appointed.
Nobody was appointed. So that's just an action that has to take place. It actually doesn't have to, according to our legal counsel, does not have to occur at a public meeting. It can be done at any time.
Okay.
So we'll work on that, reach out to all the board members. Amelia, if you can make a note of that.
To have
those that would like to participate in that capacity communicate back to the district, those that are on the board who would like to be part of that ad hoc committee, to communicate back to Amelia and myself. And then what we'll do is we'll talk to the president and have the appointments made. If there's only a two, if there's three, then we'll have some other discussions.
Amelia, you can put
board members.
Go ahead.
Okay, Amelia, you can put me down.
Okay, then I will take this as Linda's.
For you and Mark.
Good. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Are we down to 9 directors' comments, staff suggestions?
Yep.
Okay. First, just a comment. I had a few unofficial discussions with RMA concerning use of the word reservoir, and they have pointed out to me some difficulty in doing that, in that virtually every document known to man that they possess has the word lake in it, including, you know, you name it, it says lake. But that doesn't mean that we really can't do, you know, we can't, and I wasn't really all hung up officially on changing the name officially, as much as I was trying to convey the fact that, you know, they are full of our drinking water. So what I'd like to do going forward, I think, is continue to work on the concept for a sign. And then, you know, work maybe even with John Sullivan to, you know, to get a really good placement for a sign. I mean, there's some ideas I had as I was up there. You know, there's some places where you actually view Calero and Chesboro from one vantage point, and it's a good place because it's where everybody pulls in and parks. To maybe do, and what I'm trying to convey is not a sign that has as full of do's and don'ts. We have those. I'm trying to convey some other message, which isn't really totally clear in my mind yet, but it can't say, you know, it's a reservoir, stupid. It has to say something else. But I'm gonna keep, you know, talking around that, and we'll do something with it. Hopefully, you know, I think we mentioned that at some point when the law will allow it, we'll have some big to do out there with Solos when they install and introduce those renovated signs around Calero, which are really going to be pretty fantastic. And hopefully we could get something going where maybe we could do our sign at the same time, because there's plans to have a big event out there. And again, I don't have any idea when that might be. But it would be nice if we could get something together and do this before that. So that's about it. That's all I have.
All right. I have something. This is Mark. Due to the unavailability of board members for this later this morning security meeting, it is going to be canceled.
Okay.
Next meeting will be held at the regularly scheduled time next month.
All righty. Is that it? Any other comments? Anybody? Okay.
No.
We can adjourn, and thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Great, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.